Hi, I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and this is Toxic Free Talk Radio, where we talk about how to thrive in a toxic world and live toxic free. It's Wednesday, May 14th, 2014, and it's a beautiful early summer day, late spring day here in Clearwater, Florida. And today we're going to be talking about, well, I just want to say that to be toxic free isn't one single thing. It's a whole scale of things. Like, you could start out at being toxic on one end, and then you could move to, say, using a less toxic product that's still made from non-renewable petroleum, but it's not harmful to health. And then you could move into something made from a renewable natural material. And then there's all these, it keeps like moving to practices more and more healthy, more and more sustainable, more and more natural, more and more in alignment with nature. And each time you take those steps in that direction, then you become more able to sustain health and sustain life. Because in order to sustain our own health, we also have to sustain the life of the planet, the health of the planet. And today we're going to be talking about one of those very top of the chart practices that contributes to the sustainability of the planet and contributes to our health. And that is biodynamics. Biodynamic farming is a practice. Well, I'm going to let our guest explain about it. My guest is Thea Maria Carlson. She's the director of programs of the Biodynamic Association. Hi, Thea.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm good. It's not quite as springy up here in Wisconsin, but we're managing.
Good. So tell us, first of all, explain what biodynamics is.
Biodynamics is an approach to agriculture that treats the farm or garden as a living organism. So it's really taking an opposite view to kind of the mechanistic view that industrial agriculture takes of the soil and the plants just being kind of this production machine where you put in a certain amount of inputs and you get a certain amount of production. It's seeing all the soil, the plants, the animals, everything as working together as a living organism, and that trying to nurture and foster those life processes to create a healthy organism that then creates healthy food.
Good. And how did biodynamics originate?
Biodynamics originated through the work of Rudolf Steiner, who is an Austrian philosopher, Renaissance man. He did a lot of work in his life on a number of areas of society. He worked on education, medicine, the arts, architecture, and he also worked on agriculture. So he was approached by a number of farmers towards the end of his career who had known his work in their areas, who were noticing that the vitality and health of their land was decreasing as the use of chemical fertilizers was starting and pesticides and these various industrial agriculture practices were starting to take hold. They were starting to notice a decline in the health of their plants and their animals and their land. And so they asked Rudolf Steiner for some guidance as to how they could renew the health of their farms. And so Rudolf Steiner gave a series of lectures in 1924 to this group of farmers, and out of the various indicators that he gave through those lectures, the biodynamic form of agriculture has developed and evolved over the past 90 years.
And how did you yourself get interested in this?
Well, I became interested in food and sustainable agriculture while I was studying abroad in college. I was in Brazil studying Amazonian ecology and natural resource management, and I had been really focused on environmental conservation. And when I was in the rainforest and saw the kind of the tension between growing food and saving the rainforest, I really wanted to understand how to grow food in a way that wasn't just depleting the land the way most of the agriculture that's done around the world, including in the Amazon, is, and how to grow food in a regenerative way. And so I looked for a farm to work on, and I ended up on a biodynamic farm. I wasn't seeking it out, but it sort of found me.
Yes. And so then So you now work for the Biodynamic Association, but are you currently farming?
I'm not currently farming. So that first biodynamic farm I worked on, it was 11 years ago, and then I did work with school gardens and urban agriculture for a number of years, and then I was farming full-time for a couple of years and then started working part-time for the Biodynamic Association, coordinating the apprenticeship program that the association has. And then as we've been developing more programs, I kept taking on more programs, and eventually my position became full-time. So I am now taking a break from farming. I have a garden in my yard, but I'm in the office full-time.
Okay, so I found biodynamics many, many years ago, and I first noticed it, I think, because I saw it on a label, a food product label, and I don't remember what the food product was. But I have also been to Germany, and I have noticed that in Germany, a lot of food is grown biodynamically more than here in the United States. So it's a, as we're talking about this, I just want to make clear that we're talking about not only a way of farming, but a way of, as consumers, we can look on the label and find products. As we go through the show later on, I want us to talk about how people can find biodynamic foods to purchase, what to look for, where to look for that. But first, I want to just tell more about what biodynamics is. I consider it to be a step up from organic. And so could you... Both organic and biodynamics don't use pesticides. That's a big thing that they have in common. But tell us, start to tell us some stuff about biodynamics so that people can understand why biodynamics would be like more sustainable than simply organic.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's a broad spectrum within organic, but especially since the introduction of the USDA organic standards, there are certain things that organic guarantees and other things it doesn't. So it guarantees you won't have certain pesticides or fertilizers. But a lot of times, as there are more and more big industrial organic farms, they're basically substituting less toxic, more naturally derived inputs, but still putting in them in the same sort of system. So they're not necessarily building the health of the soil. They're still feeding the plants. One of the things that's unique about biodynamics, although there are certainly organic farms that do this as well, but biodynamic farms integrate crops and livestock. So there's a balancing of the nutrients on the farm. So you're neither importing a lot of fertilizers if you're a plant-based farm or having to deal with a lot of manure waste like an animal-based farm would be. There's a balancing so that the manure of the animals is feeding the soil and providing nutrition for the plants, and that you're also, as much as possible, growing the feed for the animals on the farm. So it creates more of a closed-loop system, which then can develop its own integrity and health on its own. Biodynamic farms are also very diversified. There are certainly a number of organic farms that are diversified, but also I've been to Southern California and seen acres and acres and acres of carrots, the organic Grimley carrots that you can get all over the country. So there's nothing in the organic standards that says you can't just have monoculture of one crop.
I think that that's a really big, important distinction for us to talk about is, mm-hmm. is that system of monocropping and versus having a whole system. And mm-hmm. and so in you said earlier about that they're not that you can grow organic but you're still feeding the plants and not feeding the soil. And we need to take a break in a few seconds here. And when we come back, I'd like us to talk about that particular difference because I think it's a really, really big one. And of course, mm-hmm. talking about animals and plants being in the symbiotic relationship with each other. Well, that's the way it is in nature. And we'll talk about that when we come back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd, and my guest today is Thea Maria Carlson. She's the Director of Programs of the Biodynamic Association, and we're learning about biodynamic farming and gardening and how you can eat biodynamic food. We'll be right back.
You're
You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Thea Maria Carlson. She's with the Biodynamic Association, and we're talking about biodynamic farming and gardening. So, Thea, tell us, just compare the two, like what it is like to be on an organic farm that's monocropping versus the diversity that happens in a biodynamic farm.
Well, I think something that a lot of people who visit biodynamic farms notice is something that's a little hard to put your finger on, but it's kind of a vitality that I think comes from that diversity, but also from some of the other biodynamic practices. So it's just a sense of like vibrancy and health within the biodynamic farms really do focus on diversity. That doesn't mean that they can't have a specific crop that they focus on. There are some biodynamic farms that mainly have vegetables, but they'll also have some sort of animal component to balance that out, or there are other biodynamic farms that might focus on meat production. But there's a diversity both of the crops that are grown for food, but also including areas for wildlife and natural predators and insects. So when you set foot on a biodynamic farm, you'll probably see a lot more different species of plants and animals than you might see on a farm that's not biodynamic.
And so they on a biodynamic farm, well, just tell us like what some of the practices are. I know that there are different things like using different kinds of fertilizers or things like that. I think that organic, I have nothing against organic. I think that organic is a wonderful thing. So I'm not trying to make it sound like organic isn't a good thing to do. It's certainly better than spraying pesticides and artificial fertilizers and just completely destroying the soil. But this is a step beyond that, because it's a whole different way of thinking. So can you tell us more about like the general viewpoint that would be different?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so as I mentioned before, there's a view of the farm as a living organism. So really trying to nurture the health of the whole organism, and through that having the products that you're producing be as healthy as possible. There is an emphasis on building the health of the soil, using composted manure and cover crops and composted plant matter as well, focusing on those for fertility rather than just putting on mineral fertilizers. There are a lot of organic mineral-based fertilizers that don't have the whole living composted element to them. In addition to that, there are some preparations that are used in more kind of medicinal qualities. There are 6 preparations that are added to the compost pile to add specific properties to that, and they're each made with different herbs, medicinal herbs that some people might be familiar with, like chamomile, yarrow, dandelion. Each of them adds sort of a different energy and works with different micronutrients within the compost pile. So each of those is added in homeopathic quantities to the compost pile, and then through the compost is spread over the land. There's also a couple of spray preparations that are used on the soil and the plants. There's a horn manure preparation, which is one of the things that people tend to hear about when they hear about biodynamics. So that's there's manure of a cow that is buried in a cow horn in the fall and then dug up in the spring. And then that's diluted with water and stirred rhythmically and then sprayed on the soil, usually in the spring, but it can be sprayed at other times. And that really helps to bring about more life in the soil and support the fertility of the soil. So it's not a fertilizer in the sense that there's not a large actual quantity of nutrients in it, but it's kind of more like an energetic, homeopathic way to encourage the health of the soil. And then there's kind of that works with kind of the air, the earth, and the water elements. And then there's a kind of polarity to that. There's corn silica, which is buried during the summer months, and it's ground quartz crystals. And that is sprayed in the air over the plants, and that helps bring in warmth and light and helps with ripening of the plants.
It's what's so interesting to me. I just have a personal interest in nature that many years ago, and this is part of why I was so interested in biodynamics when I found it, or even found it, is because many years ago, I just kind of looked around at our industrial culture and I said, wait a minute, there's something wrong here. And I thought, well, where is life actually flourishing? And I said, oh, I need to look to nature and see what nature is doing. And one of the things about biodynamics is that, and this for me is one of the differences I see between organic and biodynamic is that organic, we've said this, but I want to say it in a different way. Organic really is taking the industrial model and seeing how to make it natural. It's kind of natural industrial, that there's still this thought that you have to kill the insects, and so there's natural pesticides. There's still the thought that you have to, there has to be a fertilizer, and so there's a natural fertilizer. But it's all still about kind of industrial inputs into to an industrial agribusiness. And I'm not saying that every organic farmer is like this. There's, as Thea said earlier, there's a wide spectrum of organic farmers, everything from huge agribusiness organic to small family farmers to community supported agriculture and things like that. But it's all kind of based on this, our modern industrial model of having to have there be a fertilizer, having to have them be a pesticide, and what are the acceptable ones to use that aren't synthetic, that aren't harmful. Biodynamic is a completely different thing because it's looking to see how what nature is doing. And so as Thea is talking, she's talking about not like going to the store and buying manure in a bag. She's talking about this farm takes the materials that are on the farm and doing these things. I'm not saying they never buy anything, but I'm saying that the whole idea is that this is creating an ecosystem and the food products being part of that ecosystem, which is just so, so different. And I'm making a big deal out of this because this is the change we all need to go to, is to see ourselves as part of that ecosystem. We'll be right back. We're going to go to break. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Thea Maria Carlson, the Biodynamic Association, and stay with us. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Thea Maria Carlson of the Biodynamic Association, and I should tell you that you can go to their website at biodynamics.com. That's biodynamics.com. There's a lot of information there. And Thea, I want to tell you that one of my favorite parts of biodynamics is the Stella Natura calendar. I have years of Stella Natura calendars sitting on my shelf.
Great.
Because, and it was just, you know, it's just, not only is biodynamics about awareness of our relationship to the natural world, but also about our relationship to the cosmos and recognizing things like the planets and the sun and the moon and everything. It's all affecting life on Earth. And the Stella Natura calendar is the subtitle is Inspiration and Practical Advice for Gardeners Working with Cosmic Rhythms. And there are rhythms in the universe. And we're just part of, I think it's a big stretch to think of ourselves as being part of this big environment of the Earth. And it's an even bigger stretch to think of our Earth as being part of the cosmos. But that's how it is. That's nature. It includes all of those things. And I just think it's wonderful that biodynamics includes all of them too. So if you go to biodynamics.com, look for the tab about books and calendars, and take a look at the planting calendars because they're very interesting. They have a lot of articles in them about gardening from month to month, and it just gives you a different perspective about life on Earth. It's a very interesting thing. So you have a conference coming up. You want to tell us about that?
Yeah, we have a conference. Every other year we hold a North American Biodynamic Conference. So this is the year, and this year our conference theme will be Farming for Health. So it's really taking up this question of how does farming, how can farming really foster the health of the land, the soil, the plants, the animals, and the people? And so we're bringing together over 60 presenters who are going to be talking about all different aspects of this, from how do we bring health and flavor to fruit, to how do we really work with the health of livestock, how can we integrate livestock and different types of plant species, looking at the sources of healing and plants and the medicinal qualities of the biodynamic preparations I mentioned earlier, and looking at how those herbs also can be helpful to human health, looking at compost and really what can bring high quality to compost. Not all compost is created the same. And dozens of other topics. So it's really a great opportunity to learn a lot more about these topics, whether someone is already farming, whether someone is a gardener, whether you're just someone who's interested in food and health and want to kind of dig into these questions of what health really means, what does food quality really mean, how can we go beyond just the macronutrients and the levels of vitamin C to what's really going to give you something that's going to nourish you and nourish your family.
You know, as I'm listening to you, and I have the website up in front of me, as I'm considering this whole topic of farming for health, I don't think I've ever heard that phrase before. You know, it's mm-hmm. not something that is usually in those two words are not usually in the same sentence. There's farming and then there's health. And it's like the farmers do what the farmers do. And then the consumers buy whatever is on the shelf. And then we go to the doctor, and the doctor is about health. But the doctor is really not about health. The doctor is about handling the malfunctions of the body that come from not being aware of all these other things. And so this whole idea of food actually contributing to health, it's not such a strange idea, but it was like as you were talking, I was getting it in a different way, because I think that a lot of people know that you need to eat the right foods in order to be healthy. But if we stop and look at what is it that we're eating, the vitality of the food, like I'm always going back to nature. Like if I was just in nature, if we didn't have an industrial system, then what would I be eating? And I'd be out in the forest eating, you know, fruits and nuts and these kinds of things. But that they would have an aliveness to them. And if we just look at that aliveness quality, you know, like if somebody has like grown something in their backyard and you go out to your backyard and you pick that tomato off the vine and it's alive. But what we buy in the supermarket, whether it's organic or not, is not so fresh, that nutrients and vitality are much lessened. If we then take those ingredients and process them and put it through a factory and have processed food, it's even less vital. And I think that one of the lessons of biodynamics is that there is a vitality and an aliveness that really does contribute to health. And that's what's missing from most of the food. And I think that that's you know, we can get nutrients, but if we're missing the aliveness of something, we're not taking alive food and put it in our bodies to make our bodies more alive. Mm-hmm. Did I get that right?
Exactly.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think that that's probably going to be a lot of what people are talking about at this conference. And that's part of, as I said, what sets biodynamics apart for me, because they're really talking about how can we have this whole system of life be alive and thriving. And that includes all of us. I so admire biodynamics.
Yeah. And one of the things that,
Go ahead.
Great. I was just going to say one of our programs is a research program, and what we're really working on right now is a pilot project for developing quality testing and quality research on farming methods. So, you know, even though you're saying that tomato you picked in the backyard is different from the tomato you buy at the supermarket is different from the tomato that's canned, a lot of the traditional scientific analyses of the nutrition content and quality of those would say, oh, they're all the same. There's no difference. And so a lot of what biodynamics brings to the table and what we're really trying to continue to develop through our research program is developing and utilizing ways that can detect those qualitative differences between those different kinds of food that you can sense through your taste buds, and even using your taste buds as a qualitative analysis in a way.
Yes, but also I find that food feels different to me in my body, that different qualities of foods will feel different, and I will have a different kind of aliveness in my body depending on what I've eaten. Mm-hmm. And it is an energetic thing that food gives you energy that is beyond calories. So we're going to take another break, and when we come back, we're going to talk about how people can find biodynamic food to purchase and how they can find a local biodynamic farmer. Because once you taste this food and feel this food, you'll see a difference. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Thea Maria Carlson from the Biodynamic Association, and that's at biodynamics.com. Lots of information on this website. We'll be right back. You're listening to Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lindad, and my guest today is Thea Maria Carlson of the Biodynamic Association. So let's talk about, if you want to eat biodynamic food, how to find it. And so the first thing I think people should know about that is the Demeter Association. So tell us about that.
Yeah, so the Demeter Association is the organization that certifies biodynamic farms and biodynamic products in the United States. It's actually an international association. So there's a Demeter International and then chapters in each country where there's biodynamic certification. So there's kind of an international agreement on the standards for certification and certified. Farms can be certified, and then specific products can be certified biodynamic as well. And in the United States, the USDA organic standard is kind of the baseline for Demeter certification, so any farm that is certified biodynamic has also met the requirements for being certified organic. But then there are additional requirements for being Demeter certified, some of the things we've talked about, like including crops and livestock, including wild areas, balancing the different parts of the farm, working with the preparation, things like that.
So there's two, actually, I was just looking at this page. I just clicked away from it. Wait a minute. There's two certifications. There's the Demeter Association, and then there's the Stellar. I'm looking at a very tiny little thing. The Stellar Association. What's the difference between these two?
I believe that the Stellar Certification Service, they work with organic certification, so they can kind of wrap together. If a farm wants to be certified organic and biodynamic, Stellar can do both for them. But Demeter is the only organization that has the ability to certify a farm or a product biodynamic.
Okay, good. And I know Demeter, it originated in Germany, right? So it's been around for a long time. Yeah, even though it's more recent here in America. So the Demeter Association, I was trying to find online like a list of biodynamic foods, and maybe there is one and I didn't find it, but I am on the Demeter Association site, and that's Demeter-USA.org, Demeter-USA.org. And they say, coming soon, a directory of biodynamic farms and biodynamic products. But even in their, on the page, there's a slider which shows different brands that have biodynamic foods in them, like Lakewood Organic, Delalo Biodynamic Pasta. And you can just, the Republic of Tea has some tea and herbs that are biodynamically grown now. Here's Crofter's Blueberries. When you see biodynamic on the label, when you go to a natural food store and you see biodynamic on the label, then you can know that you know what that is. And you could also, if you're looking for, say, biodynamic cherries, whatever, you can just type in biodynamic and whatever it is that you're looking for into your favorite search engine, and the brands products or the biodynamic farms will come up. And so if you're looking for things that are organic, instead of just typing in, say, organic fruit, looking for someplace that sells organic online, you could also type in biodynamic whatever, and that you'll get a biodynamic quality product as well. I think that organic is getting to be very well known, and that people just type in organic this, organic that. But remember that biodynamic exists, and search it out and see if you see the difference. It's a very interesting thing. Well, we've got about 5 or 6 minutes left. The hour goes by so fast, and there's always so much to talk about. So is there anything that you want to talk about that we haven't covered?
Well, I would say if people are interested in learning more about biodynamics, you've mentioned that our website, we do have a number of resources, educational resources. We have a monthly e-newsletter. There's a calendar of events if you're interested in learning more about it. There's different events happening all around the country, and then there's our conference November 13th to 16th in Louisville, Kentucky. We also are supported by members, and so if you like what you hear about biodynamics and you'd like to support it, you can become a member of the association. We have a journal that comes out a year where you can get more in-depth articles, and then you're also helping us do more education and community building and research to keep growing the biodynamics movement in the United States and North America.
I think that's a really important thing to support, and I support it by buying my calendar. Tiny support, but it really, you know, it is so important that one of the things that has struck me recently, back on Earth Day, I did a show about Rachel Carson, and who wrote Silent Spring, and that was such an important breakthrough book about toxics. And yet I was very excitedly going around and talking to people, even people that I know in my circle. I was saying, I'm doing this show on Rachel Carson. I'm doing a show on Rachel Carson, and her biographer is going to be on, and the head of the Rachel Carson, and former head of the Rachel Carson Institute. And they're looking at me blankly like, who is Rachel Carson? I've never heard of this person. And even again, in the circle of people that I know, and they wouldn't know who Rudolf Steiner is, you know, and people don't know who Henry David Thoreau is. And I'm sorry, listeners, if you're listening and don't know who these people are, all these people have done very important things in terms of, I mean, Rudolf Steiner had a magnificent viewpoint about our relationship as human beings in nature. And Henry David Thoreau, way back at the beginning of the Industrial Revolution, he said, I'm going to go live out by the edge of a lake instead of, you know, and he wrote a whole book called Walden about his experiment living in nature rather than living in industrial society, which was encroaching his home in Concord, Massachusetts at that time. And there's all these ideas, all these ways of thinking and knowing that are just disappearing because people don't talk about them. And yet, I think that these are the exact ideas that we should be basing our future on, in my opinion, that we should not be forgetting them, that we should be working on them. We should be taking these ideas and doing as you're doing to be using them in the world and teaching them to people and studying them and exploring them and moving them forward. And I can't tell you how much I appreciate what you're doing, because we need to not lose this. We need to expand it.
Yeah, and there are so many people who are now interested in it, and so it's great because there is more and more people are waking up and saying, I want to learn more about this. I want to do something about this. So there's a building movement, and it's a great time to get involved with it.
Yeah, I think so. It's very encouraging to me to see over the years that I've been studying these things personally, to see that things that I found out about 20 or 30 years ago are now getting much more popular and much more known and are starting to become part of our culture. So this is very, very good. Very good. Let's see, what else is on your website that we could talk about? I'm sitting right here. So tell us about some of your programs that people might be interested in.
Yeah, so our main programs, we have an education program, we have a research program, and then we do community building. So I started out working mainly in education, and then my work has expanded to the other programs. We have a farmer training program, which is a 2-year program that combines on-farm training with classroom study. So we have about 45 mentor farms in the United States and Canada, and right now just about 40 apprentices who are enrolled in that program. So that's a great thing for people who are really wanting to become the next generation of biodynamic farmers. That's kind of our core education program. We also have a group of farm-based educators that we work with. So they're working with kids on farms, helping them to nature and understand how, you know, life works and get connected to their food. And so we have a learning community of folks who are working specifically with children and youth on farms. Our research program, as I mentioned before, we've been working to support the development of a qualitative testing network and research project that will work with farmers using different biodynamic, organic, conventional practices, looking at really how do different farming practices affect the quality of food and looking at the quality from a lot of different angles. We have our conference that's every other year and that moves around the country, so we try to visit a different region each time. And then we have regional events as well. We did one in California this January, one-day pre-conference, so the Ecological Farming Conference that happens there every year. Then we have the journal that I mentioned where we publish articles and different research and the monthly e-newsletter. We also have a directory for our members, which includes individual listings so people can find each other if you have similar interests in biodynamic beekeeping or fruit growing or whatever. There are also farms and businesses that are listed in that directory as well. And we also have a number of forums on our website for people to post or find internship and apprenticeship listings, job opportunities, land sharing opportunities, or just discuss topics related to biodynamics.
Oh, I see all these as you're talking about this, and this is just great. This is great. I just really encourage everybody who's listening to go to the website biodynamics.com and take a look at this. And thanks so much for being with me. This is Toxic Free Talk Radio. I'm Deborah Lynn Dadd. Be well.
Thank you.